Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We have news and marketing as promised for you today. Now, I have a lot to go through, and typically what happens is I tongue-tie myself because I just get into a hurry. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of discuss the news that really hasn't gone anywhere, and we're going to discuss some of the things that you really need to understand what's going on, so we can actually look at, or kind of look over our shoulder and go, it isn't going to get any better, folks. So the whole intent, as you listen to this, I just ask, you know, you kind of like have that little mobile, the little dangling, you know, artwork or what have you. Just put something dangling in front of your eyes to just keep yourself focused, to constantly ask yourself, what is it going to take to get me involved? As you know, you're listening to the only show that actually gets into solutions. I really don't care about all the problems. The problems all have very similar, they're symptoms. The source is the same. The source is coming from an unconstitutional government. The reason we are in this debasement, the reason we have fallen so far into debauchery as a society is because of unconstitutional government. I'm going to be connecting all the dots. We've got a lot of little mini videos that we're going to do to basically kind of stitch and put all of these things together. But I'm here to tell you that we have an opportunity to correct the course of this ship. That's why I believe you're listening to this show, because I believe you, along with the rest of America, is starving. You're famished. You're dying of thirst for a real tangible solution. Why is it that the Tea Party was so successful? Well, it was successful. It grew and became a household name, but it fell by the wayside because it didn't have, nor was it the solution. Creating an organization is not the solution. You have to have a true action plan. You don't need an organization. You need an action plan. Like I said earlier, what did it take for Martin Luther to invoke the change necessary to help help further enlightenment in Europe and the breaking away from the grip that the Catholic Church had on Europe? It was all about identifying all of your grievances. It's the same thing with the Declaration of Independence. It's the same thing today, folks. We have to declare all of our grievances, and those grievances will come from the audit. The audit. What does he mean? We need to audit the Constitution against the federal government and identify all the things that the federal government is doing that has not been delegated to them in the Constitution. What does that mean if they're doing something that's not delegated to them in the Constitution? Simple. Really, it's simple. It's unconstitutional. I go through the ratification debates. I provide you the empirical data that if the federal government is doing anything that is not within that constitution, it is unconstitutional. They are usurping authorities. It's one of the things we actually learned this week in going through Washington's farewell address. We go through this and we learn this in the ratification debates. That's why I tell people that if you only use the Constitution as your weapon, only the Constitution without all these supporting documents, then you can get taken by people like the likes of John Marshall, who all of a sudden said, well, we can do anything necessary and proper. No, it has to be delegated in that compact, which we call the Constitution. Those are his words during the ratification debates. All of a sudden, his words changed when he became the chief court or the Supreme Court Chief Justice. So, who do you believe? Do you believe the guy peddling the Constitution to get you to buy into it? Or do you believe the guy that now has the position of authority that, you know, can now do or is trying to self-aggrandize their position and self-aggrandize the government itself? Just remember, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. Now, we have a listen line, and I'm going to tell you about the listen line. Dial 605-562-4209, and you will be able to listen to this entire show without having to stream data, without having to do anything else. So, just put that in on your fast speed dial. At least put it in as a contact so you can at least dial it up when you cannot stream this show. There's lots of things we really want to get into. And there's lots of things that are actually, you know, playing out that we want to go, you know, let's talk about this because people want to talk about the problems du jour. And it's a real waste of time, right? It is a real waste of time because when you sit down and talk about in reaction to the things that are overwhelming us, then it consumes our time. You're not getting anything productive done learning about what we need to do to take down the monster, the Leviathan of government that we actually have to take down. We've got to do this, and we can do this. It doesn't take that much. We're going to be getting into the paradigm of how we've been completely misled in believing that we have these rights to protest and that's all about free speech and everything. No. We're going to get into that today. But some of the things that we're not going to really get into, but the things I want to talk about in the next couple of days, so you're going to want to tune in for this, is the Russian probe. We're going to talk a little bit about this Russian probe, but I don't want to focus too much on it. But I will get into it a little bit, probably on Monday or maybe Tuesday earlier in the week. But we will be getting into more documents because it's the documents. It's like reading scriptures. I say this a lot, and I'm going to say it again. Why do we read scriptures regularly? So that we can recognize, this is one of the, you know, there's lots of reasons why, but one of the reasons is that we can start recognizing how our, you know, how churches and how Christianity and how our mores of society have become perverted and subverted by false doctrine. It's the same thing with our government. How do we know what the heck's going on and whether they're following the Constitution and our founding principles if you don't read the founding documents? It's as important as reading your scriptures because the church can mislead you and government can kill you. They're both equally important. Nobody, no thing kills more efficiently and better than government. Just remember that. Now, so we'll talk about the Russian probe and how this is going to, you know, affect our lives or whether it will affect our lives. I'll give you my two cents on it. But I also, because I, you know, talked about people dying and so forth, I know Elijah Cummings had passed. And I didn't want to necessarily even, you know, dig into that at that point in time. And I'm not going to do it now. We're not going to talk about it today. And as I always do, I believe that it is appropriate to wait until, you know, the mourners have mourned and all of that. It, just out of respect for the mourners, not out of respect of John McCain, George Bush, or Elijah Cummings. But we will, and I will let you know that we will do kind of like a memorial for Elijah Cummings, just like I did for John McCain and just like I did for George Bush when he passed. But we're not going to necessarily get into that. We'll talk a little bit about that this coming week. NBA, China, and what's going on there. I'm not going to get into that too much, but down the road, because what we need to do is we need to let this kind of settle in. It's kind of like Kaepernick, you know, taking a knee and getting people talking and so forth. And I really don't care because I don't watch a minute of basketball. I was never inclined to enjoy basketball. I love baseball, loved playing football, loved playing the sports. But anyway, long story short, I think what we need to do, and we'll get into this, we'll get into some of the details, but I think what's really important that I want to plant the seed, I want you to start thinking about how the fans react. And what this is not taking a knee to the national anthem. This is taking a stand for subjugation. There's a big difference, a huge difference. And I want to see, as we move forward, how is it that the fans are going to react to the NBA embracing communism and subjugation? Well, I guess that these are our idols. We must follow them. I just want to tell you, if you have never read Plato's Republic, you really need to. Because what is being done by the entertainers in our society, the elitists in our society, they are playing their part to Plato's Republic to the hilt. And we'll just leave it at that. Now, we will be getting into the 14th Amendment, Section 3, and the oath, as well as the oath of citizenship. So we're going to get into those documents right there because I think they're very critical in the next few episodes. And even more importantly, we're also going to get into the Tory Acts because I want people to understand the paradigm of the framers when it came to people that were rebellious and or sympathizers of evil. Those subjugators like the Britain Crown. We'll be right back after this, though. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. All right. So one of the things that I also want to get into, and I'm going to get into this, one of the things I want to get into is how the 14th Amendment is integral in so many ways with what is going on today. And it makes me think, because I know lots of constitutionalists that look at the 14th Amendment as, you know, wow, it's a terrible thing. And I'm going, I really don't see that. Most people do not like the concept. As far as progressives, They love the concept of how the 14th Amendment applies and ties the hands of the states from being able to pass laws to take away your rights. And they've used that to pervert the Bill of Rights, to where they've used that to actually implement things like a separation of church and state down at the state level. Show me in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. Just let's be clear here. Show me in the Bill of Rights how that was applied to the states. Those restrictions in the Bill of Rights, was applied specifically to, and I've read the preamble, and it says right there in the preamble, so that we won't have to be too concerned with this federal government. We've created these restrictions, further restrictions upon you, because we weren't happy with Article 1, Section 9 in restricting the federal government further. We wanted to even take it farther in holding you back. And so most people do not understand the importance of the 14th Amendment. I wasn't there at the time, but as I kind of meandered through the arguments for the Bill of Rights and against the Bill of Rights, at the point in time, I completely understand why Madison and Iredell and all of these men that were supporting the Constitution saying we don't need a Bill of Rights, I believe they were correct in their mind's eye. I don't believe they understood the path that this nation would be taking. And when I say the path, I wasn't talking 10, 20, 30 years. We're talking 80, 100, 200 years. And so had the Bill of Rights not been written, what would have happened to the freemen in the South? Because the 14th Amendment, all it did was it applied the individual privileges and immunities guaranteed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and forced the states to have to comply to those things. Up until that point, the states could do anything and everything. And I'm here to tell you that those men in Congress, in the Senate and the House of Representatives that were left behind during the Civil War and after the Civil War, before the South started coming back in, I think these men actually had a level of inspiration from the divine hand of providence. There's no doubt in my mind, Section 3 is one of those things that they gave us for today because they knew another rebellion would be coming, but they did not fathom the type. They didn't see a Bolshevik revolution coming where people that were inheritance of liberty, those of us who grew up where liberty is a part of our DNA as Americans, are wanting to shed it and throw it into the gutter and burn it. That's what's going on with Antifa. That's what's going on with the progressives and these subjugators. They don't care about individual liberty. They care about control and controlling you as well as the outcomes in the future. That's why social justice warriors are out there. They want to have a complete redistribution. And so if you don't understand what's coming, it is going to be heck to pay if we allow them access and, you know, control of our government, because they're going to throw away the Constitution and all the protections. And most people, that can't happen. They're at the cusp of this now. Most people don't even realize they threw away the Constitution already before, my friends. And if you've been listening to the show, we've gone over it. If you've been listening to me for a long time, we've gone over this before. We've gone over to where they suspended the Constitution with Lincoln. They suspended the Constitution a little bit with Wilson, with FDR, and they even did it with Nixon. The Constitution's been suspended and or put aside several times, and the next time they do it, it's going to be done for good, because they believe that they've already got everybody convinced that it's just an archaic, you know, thought. It is an arcane piece of paper. Just tear it up. It was nice. It was okay, but it doesn't serve us anymore. That's true. It does not serve communism anymore. They have used it as a weapon against us without us using the Constitution as a weapon against them. Now, I've said this several times. If we start using the Constitution as a weapon and our shield, we will win this war. And that's what it comes down to. This is an ideological war. And the source of this war actually started, and it started in our origins. I tell you, that war in heaven is what spilled down here into, you know, mankind. Post Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden, that ideological war started coming forth of subjugating mankind and or liberty. And unfortunately, society quickly went to subjugation and embracing slavery. That's why slavery has been around for 5,000 plus years. And it's on a comeback with human trafficking. And it's in a different perspective, but it is just as dark and even more evil than what it was. Yes, more evil. Because instead of being a laborer and being treated as, you know, a laborer, you know, some of these are slaves, sex slaves, where they're tied to a bedroom and then abused and abused and abused and abused. And I'm telling you, my friends, we are looking at evils that they could not fathom at the framers or at any point in time in history. That's why I truly believe the Bible says that these are the, you know, it's the great and dreadful day. I mean, even Sodom and Gomorrah, with its debauchery of immorality, has nothing on this society. When we have a nation that has 3 million political prisoners in China, and those prisoners serve one purpose and one purpose alone, they are the keepers of organs that when the government says we're taking your kidneys, your liver, your eyes, and whatever it takes for us to sell to somebody else, then we're done with you. Because that's how the whole purpose of the Falun Dong, and they're using them as the live organ harvesting. So, and that's why if you look, you just go do the research on the insidiousness of just that one thing alone, and nobody has ever, no society has ever been that evil. And that's only one thing. That's not the social credit in the Big Brother system. All of the things that we're seeing as it's unfolding at our very feet are evils that people couldn't even imagine, like I said. So anyway, let me kind of move forward. I do have a sponsor. We would love to have you sponsor. We're looking for sponsors. We would love to have a sponsor come along. And so we do have Red State Coffee, who is sponsoring us. And there's a lot of good patriots that love their coffee. And so I'm just asking you, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org if you drink coffee and buy the Red State Coffee and give it a try. Test a whole bag out. Just buy one bag. And then give us a call at 425-270-5416. Leave a recording and let us know what you think. Tell us, you know, is it good coffee? We want your testimony. We want your opinions to help with this marketing and helping us. That way you can help our sponsors, because it's one thing for somebody to say something. But, you know, when you know up front that that person doesn't consume that product, like I don't smoke cigars. So don't take my word for whether that cigar is good. And who would take my word for it? The fact of the matter is, if you're a consumer and that's where your happiness lies, because I know that we all have our, if you want to call them vices, or we all have our own pleasures in life, whatever you want to call them, we want to make sure that you can actually have an opportunity to become a contributor as well. So that's one way you can contribute. Another way you can contribute, what we want to do is start another expansion of listening to this show drive. Next week, I challenge you to at least get one more person to either dial into our listen line, which is 605-562-4209, or at least challenge somebody to stream, because we get it. The Red State isn't in the big populated areas and so forth. But what we ask is that you get people to tune in and or stream or dial into the listen line. In doing that, people will start getting exposed to the fact that we have this thing called a solution. It's called the audit. Identifying what all the problems are, listing them, and then moving forward and taking them out. When we'll get through the process of Republic Review, we'll get through the entire solution. But that I don't have that time in 10 minutes to kind of give you that. There's not even a 90-second elevator speech that can adequately do that. It takes a little bit of time for you to invest and investigate what we're asserting. And if you do that, then we have you hooked, because what we're selling is the truth. It's that simple. And people recognize the truth, and they will recognize that this is the only thing that will work. And that's why we have Trevor Lahn's video out there for you to actually listen to him saying he believes that this is the only thing that will work. Anyway, we will be right back after these two promos, so please stay tuned, and we're going to get into actually the marketing that I promised you. So thank you very much, and we'll be right back after this. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So a lot of people, we all understand, folks, that there's a deep state, right? There's this dark side of government. That government and that deep state has been galvanized and formed over the past 200 years, practically, in perverting our constitutional paradigm as well as, the form of government. It hasn't changed the Constitution. That's actually been pretty guarded, but we're not following the Constitution. And so, as people are talking about, there's this war, the deep state, and how they're waging war and fighting Trump. And so if you understand what Trump is doing, he's using the same tools and the same battlefield and mechanism that the deep state created. And in all honesty, if we're not using the Constitution to root out all of this evil deep state and all of that, then we're playing to their rules. And the odds of us really winning are against us. Whenever you surrender your sovereignty to somebody that has no jurisdiction, then you have lost already. And so even though the president of the United States may be trying to do the right thing, he's using the exact same tools that they want him to use. This is why I have said, and we're at that point where I'm not sure if focused on getting the Republic rallied is the best thing for Trump to get reelected. But we could just look at Circus Maximus, as we'll get into that too. And I'm here to tell you that, you know, we don't want any of those Democrats. We don't want a communist literally taking the helm, because that communist is going to do some very evil and bad things. Because look at what Obama did. Look at what Obama's been trying to do. I mean, there's so many things that have been racing through my mind about how he's been subverting our Constitution, but not just him, all of them. And I know Trump, I legitimately believe Trump really wants to do some good things and the right things, but he just does not understand the Constitution. He believes in how, you know, there's this thing called the annotated Constitution. This is how they have decided how they're going to get around actually complying to the Constitution. These are the rules of engagement and so forth. And I'm going, if Trump would tear that thing up and actually, you know, follow the Constitution to the T, if he understood that, then I would be in a completely different position. But really, what's going on regarding this whole impeachment, the facade of government, holding government accountable? I mean, really, it's like internal affairs in a police department holding, you know, the police department. Who's watching the watchers? Our system is designed to actually have separation of powers. The states are the ones that are supposed to be watching the watchers, and we're supposed to be watching the states, making sure the states are doing their watching. And what's going on when we allow, it's just like Congress, each house, each body has their own rules of how they handle bad players with a slap on the wrist, censure, what have you. This is tantamount to a tickle fight. It's that bad. Because they're not really going to hold people accountable. This gets into this whole concept that I really want to impress upon people, that we are a nation of rule of laws. And unless we actually, because shoot, hey, people can get hurt when you follow the law, because you really hold people accountable and they're having to do serious time. We don't want to do that, because that might happen to me. That's the paradigm. Now, one of the things that, you know, kind of one side of this whole impeachment thing is this Circus Maximus. And one of the things I have noticed over time, because I told you, let's not even waste our time watching Circus Maximus, because it's just going to consume you. And if you've been playing all of these, you know, debates, so forth and so on, then you're wasting a lot of your time, my friends. What you need to see, what you need to understand, is that Circus Maximus has really failed to unite. In other words, it is either being pulled or pushed to the hard left. Who's doing the pulling and who's doing the pushing? And if you don't recognize that, because they don't care about swinging to the middle with a moderate, and I honestly believe, because you already hear it, that there's talk about Hillary coming back in. I think that the left has been allowing this whole gaggle to rush over to the left, whether they're pushing themselves or being pulled, it doesn't matter. I think because they couldn't steal the election like Hillary did with Bernie by, you know, the super, what do they call those, super delegates or what have you, in their ridiculous process, the party, all unconstitutional, because there's nowhere in the Constitution that allows the parties to have that kind of control and play. State legislatures have the control over the choosing of, but not the choice of. They can't choose for you and I. We are to elect our electors. We're not to have a popular vote. Show me in the Constitution where we're supposed to have a popular vote. We vote for an elector, and that elector basically tells us their principles and who they're going to be voting for. They can dedicate themselves, but when it comes down to the actual point of voting, then it is up to them to actually vote. And, you know, that's why electors are supposed to be independent. But the party wants and has had control since the mid-1800s. Anyway, the growing thought and the selling of the coming civil war at the feet of this, what we'll call Circus Maximus, and this upcoming 2020 election, is trying to lay a foundation for a left narrative. I think that they want to get people to get engaged in the scuffle. They want everybody to get into the pig pen to wrestle with pigs, so that one, you lose time, you get distracted, you get dirty, and you don't get anything accomplished. Because bottom line, it's not like we killed the pig and have eaten it. We're just wrestling with it. We're just wrestling and fighting. And the odds are stacked up against us every time, because we're dealing with an entity, a court system that has no jurisdiction. What is the jurisdiction of the court? It's very simple. Madison said it. He said it the most concisely. He said that the federal government has very specific objects that has been delegated. I'm paraphrasing. And those delegated objects are the enumerated objects, the listed objects within the Constitution. That's all they can do. If it is not listed in the Constitution, they have no jurisdiction. So when it comes to marriage, who has jurisdiction over the states? Not the federal government. It's not in the Constitution for them to dictate or have jurisdiction over marriage, life, education, energy, labor, all of these things. And the fact is that they've duped us all into believing that they have this jurisdiction. Don't stop perpetrating the lies. We have to actually recognize that we have the power. Okay? It's that simple. And so what we have to do is we have to focus not on conserving things, but we have to focus on the Constitution. And if we take the constitutional position of restoring the Constitution, we want, and in restoring, that means we're demanding full compliance. We must demand compliance to the Constitution by everybody. If we do that, we pull the rug out from underneath all of those who are peddling an agenda, whether it be the establishment right or whether it be the communist left. They're all peddling an agenda so that they can control us, because their control is better than the other control. Folks, they have no constitutional authority to control us. We're supposed to be controlling them. And it's the Constitution that has limited them, and that's why if we use the Constitution, we can get back our control over our education, our control over our health care, all of that, because it all comes back to the states. So I want you to keep in mind that we are a society that has been steeped, that we've been built upon the concept of the rule of law, that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, not the president's edicts. Not Congress's whimsical actions, not even the Supreme Court's opinions are the law of the land, only the Constitution. And nowhere in the Constitution is the president allowed to edict changes to it. Nowhere in the Constitution is Congress allowed to make changes to it because of their whimsical desires. And the Supreme Court, and they're grinding an agenda in their opinions, cannot change the Constitution either. The only process is for Congress, with two-thirds of Congress, to vote in passing and submitting to the states an amendment, and then it takes three-fourths of the states to agree that that is okay to change their contract or compact. It's that simple. One of the things we have to be very aware of is the riotous acts and the rebellious behavior. There's no way the framers would have supported the concept of what's going on in San Francisco, Portland, and all around in this republic. There's just no way. They did not give us a right to riot and protest. There is no right to protest. We have a right to address our grievances with government. That is our constitutional right. And it has been our government that has convinced you to take it to the streets so that you can create mayhem. And that is all unconstitutional. But we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So as I was just saying, we have a right to address our grievances with government, not to duke it out in the streets with people we don't agree with. We do not have a right to silence them, nor do they have a right to silence us. Folks, if we don't start understanding, that's what goes right back to what I started the show off with. If we don't read our Constitution and founding documents, then we do not understand, and that's how we've been duped into believing that you have a right to protest. That's a constitutional right out there. How many people do you hear say, oh, you have a constitutional right to go protest? No, you don't. You have a constitutional right to address your grievances with government. It's that simple. But government doesn't want you clogging up their special halls and chambers and their offices. So they've alleviated and they've put guards and everything else around them to keep you from being able to address your grievances with them, and said, go duke it out in the streets. That's okay. You know, take out some shops while you're at it. And we will allow that to be used as marketing to create fear and use fear-mongering against the populace in getting people to surrender their liberties. It's a very insidious plan, my friends. And it's all about taking your liberty and sovereignty. Civility, back in the framers' day, was expected behavior. And we need to get back to that behavior once again. We need to expect civility. We cannot tolerate people breaking the laws, people going out and fighting. I can't justify what happened with the Proud Boys, anybody that's going out to defend themselves. I think that there's... I honestly believe that whoever is running government at the time that allows two opposing views to intermix, they are the culpable ones. they're the ones, because what's, if you haven't seen, and G. Edward Griffin's report this, and we're going to get into this, probably just touch on this maybe today, but in the next episode, I'm going to get into this in detail, because they're trying to convince the people that the extreme right are the bad guys. And they're already convinced the kids in school that the extreme rights are the bad guys. They're the ones that want to take away your kids' ability to have, you know, fun and, you know, do whatever they want sexually, because you have these morals and you think it's wrong for people to be able to sexually do whatever it is they want to do, to, you know, to feel free to express themselves in any perverse way possible. See, it's your fault. You're the bad guy. You're the one with morals. And that's what they've been teaching the kids. You're the one that wants to make sure that you keep guns so you can kill kids. Do you understand what they're doing in the school system and how they're painting you? We have to get back to civility. We have to get back to the standards that this country was actually built upon. And that is the constitutional rights, because we have expectations of government. There's going to be people that are going to have, let's just call it opposing views. There'll be communists out there. People that want to, you know, march and try to promote and or try to demand using tactics that are unconstitutional, we have to hold them accountable. Immediately, we have to hold them accountable. And so with that, with this rule of law and this bad riotous behavior, again, there is no constitutional right in shutting down the rights of anyone other than government. You don't have a right to keep people from being able to go to work. You do not have a right to keep people from operating their commerce on a daily basis and making a living. The genius of how the progressives have moved us into the public confrontation with opposing ideas has been brilliant, because it is working. It is empowering those kids on the Antifa side and so forth, the anarchists, and that's what they're using here, is anarchy tools. But what we need to do is we need to demand compliance to the Constitution. We need to start actually in the news say, you don't have a right to be out here protesting with the civil disobedience. That is not a constitutional right. Show it to me in the Constitution. It's not there. You have a right of individual right of freedom of expression. And you even have a right of assembly, but you cannot use an assembly to shut down commerce, to shut down streets. You have a right to assemble in a place, whether it be a church or in a government building, but you do not have a right to taking away the rights of others. That was the first thing I learned about the Constitution from my father, because I asked my father, what are my rights under the Constitution? And he says, your rights end where another person's rights begin. And in a kid's perspective, that was brilliant, because it really helped me understand that even though I may have rights, my rights don't outweigh the rights of another person. And so what we are witnessing in government and in the streets are the tactics of collectivism and anarchy. A long, long time ago, and we're talking, I'm going to probably say 2010, 2012, somewhere in there, I had a meeting with one of my, let's just call it new business development with my employer. And I basically told them that we could create a system that could, you know, basically riot control system to come in and grab everybody that was, you know, out there violating the rights of the businesses and the rights of the people and the community and so forth. Grab them all, arrest them, and then just throw them into temporary camps, make them do hard labor or what have you, you know, for temporary or what. But we need to punish them. I'm going to tell you that those people that come back to do that again, if they're held accountable the first time, will, you know, the repeat offenders will go down. And it will go down as long as we hold people fully accountable. But unfortunately, my lawyer said, or not my lawyer, my employer told me, you know, that kind of is going down the realm of taking away people's constitutional rights, isn't it? And then I had to teach this vice president of the company, hey, show me in the Constitution where they have these rights to do this. And they were flabbergasted. They go, well, you know, the government seems to be promoting, you know, what they're doing. And I go, that's because it is a means to an end. The ends justify the means, right? And so what we have to do, and this is what I want to start planting the seed, going into this weekend, we must implement our justice system as designed. And we actually have to hold people accountable. We need to restore true civil rights. Civil rights is blind. It's not about social justice. The problem is with if you teach a culture, if you teach a class of people that you have to behave badly, then guess what? They're going to behave badly. And then guess what? There'll be a misrepresentation in the prison populations because that's how their culture has been promoting and perpetrating these ideologies and concepts. If you tear apart the family unit of certain people to where there's far less families in a particular group, ethnicity, culture, or what have you, then you're going to have certain outcomes and consequences of that, where there's less discipline, less guidance, because you don't have two parents. We have to take back and restore our real civil liberties. And that means your civil liberty of being able to get to work, your civil liberty of being able to conduct business, being safe in your person and in your property. We need to have these concepts of holding people fully accountable. In other words, we got to bring back debtor's prison, folks. Why? Because you already hear all of these people that are up in Circus Maximus, which is the Democratic presidential campaign run, they're all promising to wave away the debt that all these people have taken on. I'm sorry. We need to probably implement a debtor's prison, and we need to hold people. You enter into a contract and say, you're going to pay something back if you give me this money, if you let me do this. I'm sorry. You have to be held to that contract. Just like I'm held to all my contracts I go in. And, you know, people have either, right, wrong, or indifferent. Maybe there's some wrong playing on both sides. But bottom line, everybody has to take their share of the blame. So anyway, I'm looking, the show's almost practically gone. I didn't even get a chance to get into any of this. But what I want to do is I want to remind you about the Billy Graham commitment. Remember that story he told of the communist that was engaged and went to Mexico and told his fiance that he didn't want to be married to her, but that his wife, mistress, and love is communism and subjugating everybody. We need to start really looking at that paradigm and how those people think and act, because if we don't have that same commitment in preserving our liberties, then we're going to let them roll right over us. All we have to do is take a stand in front of that tank, and it will stop. My friends, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort.
We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.